Coming up on this episode of Cryptid Addicted.
Hey, what's up?
Crack, 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 motherfucker.
Oh shit!
What?
I'm endangering your romantic liaison with an Irishman with my skepticism.
Hey!
Hey, so, everyone!
What's up?
It sounded to me like there was a delay.
Nah. But... we were like harmonizing and beautiful. We both can't sing, but together we're a choir of terrible.
Hey, everyone.
Hey, everyone.
It's us. We're back after... has it been a while?
There was a delay when I just fucked off to Malta, so sorry. I already apologized in the last episode. I'm not going to grovel. I'm also going to Barcelona, so there might be another delay. Well,
oh no. Oh, I apologize. I've gone on another holiday. Well... Paddy remains in Sydney, ready to record.
But not ready to do any sort of editing.
No editing or research, in fact.
I totally busted you for doing research an hour before I record today. I saw that message come through and I was like, fucking Paddy.
Hey, an hour is more than enough time to read two articles.
That's true. To be fair, you got up at 7 a.m. to commit to the research. That's very good.
6:30 a.m.
Fuck me.
I had already eaten porridge before I messaged you.
How?
My first bowl of porridge.
I was just going to say, you were just eating another bowl of porridge.
I like porridge. Yes, anyway, we're both here.
Welcome to Cryptid Addicted.
Yes.
This is the podcast about cryptids. I'm that person, he's that one. I don't know what I'm saying. I've forgotten how we do this. I've forgotten. It's been so long.
You're Megan.
Got it.
Okay. And I'm Paddy.
Uh-huh.
I'm a little bit more skeptical. Megan's a little more gullible.
Thanks.
That's probably not the word you'd have chosen.
Enthusiastic about the fantasy.
And yeah, we talk about cryptids, which are... Tell us what cryptids are, because I tire of explaining what cryptids are.
Cryptids are supposed animals that science hasn't totally agreed on being legit skis. Did you like my offer cuff to find the definition?
There? I like your definition.
If I wave my finger around, it looks like I know what I'm saying. Oh, I just realized my hair is up. I gotta get my podcasting hair. Holy
Whoa.
Shit.
Oh my god. Oh,
I need a
like
haircut.
A full Jamaican do-rag. There's so much hair in there.
I'm scared to get my hair cut in a new country, so I've just been growing it. I'm scared maybe haircuts don't work the same way in the UK as they do in Australia.
A shaggy humanoid beast emerged from the shadows.
No, it was me. Yeah, it's got some luscious locks right now, but give it 10 minutes and it will straighten into a boring, dull curtain of shit.
Okay, I look forward to that.
Anyway, this is the Who Dis episode where we do... It's meant to be small. It's meant to be short. Shorter than the normal chunky meaty boy.
Yeah, these are mini-sodes.
Yeah. We talk about news in the cryptozoology world and we talk about an encounter. So you guys, listeners, send us encounters about stuff you've seen in the wild and we read it out and we try and analyze what you saw or heard. Or made up.
yes. One of the three.
but I have an announcement first, which I don't think Paddy knows.
Oh.
So this is going to be a surprise for everyone.
I don't know anything. I'm very ill-prepared.
No, this is because I've purposefully not told you.
Oh, cool.
Reveal.
Not my fault.
Okay.
Excellent.
No, we have launched our Patreon.
Oh, no, I did know that. You told me.
Oh, fuck.
but cool, right, guys?
Yay!
So give us some fucking cash. That's what we need. These porridge sachets aren't gonna buy themselves.
Shall I read some of the tiers? Did you have you read it?
I've not read it. You just told me that it was coming, I think, but now it's arrived. So what are the tiers?
Okay. Let me Google myself. Hold on. Okay.
I'm sure I thought of something. I was pretty drunk when I set it up.
I'm sure it's fucking top-notch Megan quality poetry going on here. Okay. All right, guys. So you can be a patron of Cryptid Addicted. The lowest tier, number one.
Don't do one this one.
Buckaroo a month. It's a US dollar as well because...
Oh, they're pretty powerful at the moment. I wouldn't mind a US buckaroo.
One buckaroo and you can be a drop bear. mm-hmm. And then I've got a little like something that I can't think of the word, a little summary. So one buck.
Description.
What description, are you... thank you, my friend. Drop bear, $1. Some say you're a joke, but we believe in you. Oh yes, we know what's up. And what do you get for that $1 a month? You get a shout out on the podcast. You get voting for upcoming cryptids, behind the scenes content, cryptozoology news.
Wait, doesn't everyone get behind the scenes content through our Instagram? Are we going to cancel our Instagram and put like a paywall up?
No, it's going to be more behind the scenes. So like
more, even further behind the scenes.
For example, potentially bloopers, which we, I mean.
Oh, we got fucking thousands of hours of those. Jesus.
If there's a difficult name or even a mildly interesting name or like word that's.
Or even just a name, even just like Patrick just... or something.
I struggle. It takes like 60 to record. Patrick.
Cool. That's pretty decent for a fucking dollar a month.
Yeah. Also,
we may revise down the amount of things we're giving you.
I have been told I may be giving away too much. Fuck it, man.
All right.
Cool.
That's pretty cool. If I was at all interested in cryptids, which I probably am, I would sign up to a show like this.
You're doing God's work, Patty. Right. Okay. Tier two is the Tassie Tiger. That's $5 a month.
Oh, big spender.
Yeah. You may be elusive, but we know you're out there. The Aussie battler who can. What do you get? All the previous rewards. There we go. Blooper. But I'm going to keep it in because fuck it.
this is a free one on the house for all you non-Patreon subscribers.
Expedition wrap-ups and photos. So some of you may know that I go out and sometimes Patty joins me and we go traveling and we look for different cryptids. At the end of those expeditions, we'll do like a little wrap-up, a little summary, and send some photos. I'm a photographer on the side as a hobby, as some of you may know if you're...
Nobody knows, Megan. Nobody knows who you are.
Fuck you!
But she does take good photos. It's unjust that she has such a small following.
Anyway, I'll share those photographs with you, and hopefully some of those photographs will be of cryptids. Also, we'll have upcoming cryptid teasers. So on that Patreon tier, I'll let you know what the cryptid will be for the upcoming episode before even Patty knows.
Oh, that's mean. That's just bullying me for $5 a month.
No patties allowed.
No patties.
We're allowed one.
All right.
Okay. Okay, tier three is the Bunyip. That's $10 a month.
Oh my.
You are the big boy Bunyip bro. We heard stories about you growing up. You're one to be respected. So, you get all the previous rewards, also voting on expeditions and videos. So like, hey, I'm thinking about going on an expedition. Shall I go to Bhutan to look for the Yeti? Or shall I go to Singapore to look for the Singaporean Mothman? Vote now, and you get to vote. And then...
Yeah, to be clear, like, we will decide the options. You can't send us to Alaska or something. Like, fucking Mr. Worldwide or whatever. Okay, what else do you get for your $10 a month? VIP. I'll send you a dick pic if you want.
$10 a month. $10 a month. Dick pic from Patty.
Not one each month, though. Oh, maybe. Okay. I don't know. It doesn't really change very much.
Is it your dick or is it just a dick pic that you found online?
I'm getting bogged down in these details. I don't want to commit.
We'll keep the mystery alive. We won't answer that question, so you'll never know. It may change in size.
Just a picture of a huge black penis.
Okay, and the final one is questions for... Oh, this was cool. So you may know I'm interviewing some experts and authors and researchers who work and live and breathe in the cryptozoology world. They're coming up. For anyone who's part of this 12th tier, you can ask questions that we will ask to the interviewers. So, for example, I'm interviewing... the guy's whose name I've forgotten.
Some fucking...
I can't say that.
The Malaysian guy from oh fuck,
starts with a D. Wasn't it? Dali. Okay, yeah.
Alright.
So, for example, I'm interviewing Dali from Sumatra, who is a researcher on the Orang Pendek. If you have a question about the Orang Pendek or for Dali, you can ask them in, and I'll ask them to Dali. Cool.
Unless they're inappropriate, we will censor them a little bit if they're okay.
I mean, if you're paying $10 a month, we will ask whatever you fucking want.
What are you wearing? What do you smell like? What is your route to and from work?
Oh my god. So the last one.
Wait, is there another level?
Yes, the big one.
The big one.
So you can surely guess this. I'm going for a theme here. What do you think the biggest one is called?
I'm assuming not the Orang Pendek.
No, I'm going for an Australian cryptid theme.
The Yowie.
Yeah. So $20 a month is the Yowie.
Oh, no one's going to fucking pay that. Jesus. We should have the top be 10, man.
Fuck it, aim high, okay. We might have a miscellaneous donor.
We had, like, one person buy a pen once. Like, we don't have that sort of pull over people.
Right now, we're putting the fundamentals in charge. Okay, I'm gonna read my funny. Large and in charge, you're the big boss in these parts. When the Yowie speaks, we pay attention. So you get all previous rewards, live updates on expeditions, live streams from expeditions.
Wait, live?
Yeah, man.
Are we going to get like a satellite phone or something? this is expensive sounding.
There's 4G in the woods.
Okay, to the extent that reception permits. You know what? I reckon for $20 a month, you should be able to pick one episode every like year.
What do you mean pick?
Like, you pick a cryptid, and we have to do like a big episode on it, or maybe a mini episode on it.
I've
been spitballing. You don't have to include this.
Okay, sounds good.
Cool. Wow, Patreon.
Yay!
Thank you for setting that up, Megan.
That's okay. We'll see how it goes, I guess. Right?
Yeah, I hope we get some like Guatemalan $1 subscriptions. That would be...
Oh, actually, do you know who's been recently listening to us in large amounts? Can you guess the two countries, ooh, obscure, that have just popped out of nowhere and started really listening?
Give me continent as a start.
Okay. Europe and... Actually, both Europe.
Oh. One by one. Okay.
One's more Scandinavian.
Ooh. Greenland and Moldova.
No, but like same, right sort of feel.
Okay.
Like cold and in quaint and tropical and islandy.
Tropical?
It's not actually an island. I fucked up.
Okay. Why don't you just
I'll just tell you. I'll be here all night. Okay. It's the Netherlands and Croatia.
Oh,
hello.
Hey.
To the Netherlands and Croatia.
Hey, Croats. I love using that term, but it might be inappropriate, so edit that out.
I'll just bleep it. Yeah. And then people think you just said drop the other C bomb.
Yeah, hey, what's up?
All right. Should we dive in?
Let's do
after
it.
After all that. All right. Where are my notes? Okay, I'm going to read this first one.
All right.
So the first one is a news article, and basically it is very simple. The Indian Army, ADGPI, are out and about, and suddenly on their Twitter, they just decided to unleash photographs of Yeti footprints. They say, this is the legitimate, actual, bona fide Twitter account, and it says, for the first time, an hashtag Indian Army mountaineering expedition team has sighted mysterious footprints of mystical beasts Yeti, measuring 32 times 15 inches close to Makalu Base Camp on the 9th of April 2019. This elusive snowman has only been sighted at Makalu Baran National Park in the past. And then there are four photographs. One is of the army, like a sort of, it looks like an awkward school photo army photo, mm-hmm. an awkward school photo. Then there's a second one which shows, well, it's like a cross section of footprints in snow. So there's ones that are going that way. What's that way? Horizontal. And then there's ones that are going vertically. Well, sort of diagonal vertical. So the horizontal ones, I'm assuming, are to be ignored. The horizontal ones are these big, somewhat human-looking like footprints. The third photo is more of a long angle and shows more of the footprints and a bit of mountain. And then the fourth photo is a different angle, which I think shows...
You should probably just look at the photos, guys. It's hard to describe photos.
I forgot.
We'll put a link to them.
I forgot how to podcast. Yeah, they're all on our Facebook, Cryptid Addicted. They're on the website. Actually, no, they're not on the website. Whatever, they're on the fucking Facebook. Okay, yeah. Look at them. They're photos.
The school photo is actually pretty funny because, you know, in school photos, they normally tell you to, like, put your hands a certain way. Everyone's got their hands on their legs except the guy in the middle who's, like, doing a real man spread.
he's
commander or whatever.
He's also slightly cupping himself.
Yeah, definitely cupping a feel.
And he's got a beautiful mustache.
Yes. So the Indian Army put all these photos up saying they found Yeti footprints, and like they clearly, at least the guy who posted it, like thinks this is some legit shit.
Yes.
The title of the ABC article, the ABC News article on this was Indian Army faces ridicule for posting photo of Yeti footprints. And again, this was their official Indian Army Twitter, so quite funny.
Yes.
Sorry, what are your thoughts on this? Who dis?
Who dis? I'm, okay. Impossible to tell.
It's very possible to tell. It's so possible.
It's possible. I'm going to say, I just think it's so weird that they leapt to Yeti. Because snow melts. There's like a whole phenomenon about like if you walked on snow and left it for like an hour, the snow melt becomes like bigger in that area and the footprint looks bigger.
Yeah. So this is the Himalayas. This snow is not going to melt, right? Like this is, they're at like 8,000 feet. This is really, really, really cold.
But it goes through to like, it's pretty thin snow. It goes through to, so it must be going through, there can't be more ice. I don't know. I'm not an ice expert. I'm going to say Yeti just to rile you up, but really, no fucking way of knowing. It's too big to be a snow leopard. There are no bears up there. Are there bears there? There are bears there. They're Himalayan bears, right?
I don't know if they're Himalayan bears. You just saying shit?
I'm just saying shit. It's because it's literally, how could the fuck... Can you know from a footprint that ill?
Let me tell you how you can know. Because
okay.
I've done some analysis here. So let me break it down for y'all.
All right.
Since y'all didn't even Google if there are bears in the Himalayas.
All right. The tables have turned. Okay. It's been a busy fucking week. All right. Hit me with the best shot. Patty, who dis?
All right. First, a lot of this comes from the Twitter comments, which were quite helpful. But this is, I'm now presenting it as my own analysis because I've considered all the evidence and this is the position I've arrived at. First of all, look at those there. What looks strange about them? They're single file. They're single, like, each foot, there's no right and left feet imprints. There is, like, little ovals in a single row. Like, this is the kind of footprints that you would make if you were wearing shoes that obscured whether it was right or left feet, and if you were doing like a catwalk walk where like one foot is directly in front of the other. This is not what normal footprints look like. That's the first thing. And they
Okay,
don't
I
have
have a
a.
counterpoint.
Okay.
It has been said that yetis do walk one foot in front of the other in single file. That is like a common
Well,
ethos
that's a
around
counterpoint to
them.
the single file thing. I mean, if true, then people say all sorts of shit. But
Okay.
it doesn't help you with the fact that these footprints are perfectly symmetric. They don't have like a right side and then a left side, and they look nothing like the very famous Sharpton Yeti footprint photo, which I can provide a link to. In fact, I'm going to send you a little video now for you to have a look at. This is probably the most famous photo of a Yeti footprint, and looks like a proper footprint. It's a
Okay, I
left.
know the footprint. You don't need to send me the footprint.
Okay, all right, you got
That's cute, but I know it off by
it.
heart.
So that's the first thing. I'm not saying that proves anything, but it's just
Okay.
if you're looking for footprints, these are weird looking footprints. They don't look like footprints. My next point, my theory, I guess, is that I think this is quite easily you can make these footprints with snowshoes. If you Google snowshoes, there are plenty of snowshoes that are about 15 by 30 inches. That's around the size of a snowshoe. They come in all different shapes and sizes, obviously, but there are definitely snowshoes that make these kind of prints. It would explain the lack of symmetry. Sorry, the perfect symmetry rather in the prints. Like, there's no left or right footed nature to them. It's just like a kind of symmetric foot block shape. Now there were people on Twitter that said, no, these can't be snowshoes, because when you walk around in snowshoes, the prints are really close to each other. Like, if you look at the footprints someone in snowshoes make, they're really, really close together. That's true if you're walking normally in snowshoes, but you can like quite easily pull up videos of people jogging in snowshoes, in certain kinds of snowshoes, and like jumping and hopping in them, and that leaves exactly the kind of prints that you see here. So that's basically my theory, I reckon.
Why is someone hopping down a mountain?
Because they want to take photos and say it was a Yeti. This is a fucking prank pulled by some lonely soldiers up on the mountain. I'm not getting the wool pulled over my eyes by another set of military men. I already embarrassed myself with the Navy sailors and their pterodactyl stories back in like episode 2 or 3. That's not happening again.
I mean, they're very large strides. They're like big gaps in between them. Because obviously
What are
there's.
they not strides? That's the point. It's someone jumping, right? Or hopping. But like I can send you, like, I have a video which you wouldn't have seen because it's not cryptid related, but it's just a video of someone running in snowshoes and
Right, yes.
similar strides.
Send me that. All right, watching it now.
This is
By
like
over
an
6,000
advertisement for a
feet of
snowshoe.
difficult winter terrain, the Run snowshoe features the fastest binding in the Atlas line, the Okay, well,
speed
she's running, but I
boost.
can't see her
Built with
tracks.
the BOA
And
closure
now they're
system,
showing me
this
it.
bike
Okay,
point
I'm
is
not
look
gonna
how
fit in.
far, like, her
Precision
points of
and
contact
power
are
in
apart.
difficult
The
terrain.
point is you can be reasonably
Profile
flexible
and
in
bike
certain
design
snowshoes.
keeps you running
And
forever. The
these
aluminum
are Indian
full-frame
military
plank
guys
was
who
designed
spend
to
their
prevent
entire
damage from
days out in the snow.
forming the icy
They are
grip
going to be able
between
to,
the
like,
SLS suspension
they're
system
comfortable
and
in
steering wheel
snowshoes. They
rear
would be able to
end,
do a few hops and
maneuverability
then take a
to
photo of
neutral
it.
slopes.
Is my own view. I think they could quite have easily made these tracks.
You don't think it was like a natural animal?
Maybe. I don't know much about the animals in the Himalayas. I guess it's possible that it could be a foot-shaped animal.
I'm gonna send you a picture right now of a screen cap of that video. She is running full pelt down that hill.
She's jogging slowly.
Okay.
But I'm not saying I think they did this. I'm saying I think they hopped. Like, I think they did big hops a couple of times. But I mean, there's lots of ways you can make prints like that.
She is very close together with her feet, is what I'm saying. They're obviously long shoes. This person's legs would have to be massive.
I don't think so. Let me pull up the Indian Army.
I mean, it's hard to tell scale.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing, is they've said that these are really huge prints, 15 by 30 inches, but actually in the photo, there's nothing that you can use to tell the scale of them, and there are some tracks nearby which look like they've been left, at least two of the tracks look like they've been left by, like, motorcycle wheels or something like that. And all if right. that's the case, then these footprints are not actually that big. I don't know. It looks to me like something that could quite easily just, like, I could, me, with a bit of practice, could go out in the snow and make these prints.
Don't you think it's the fact that it's like the Indian Army lends some credibility to it? Or you think that makes it less credible because you're envisioning, like, bored army dudes?
I think the fact it's posted on the official Twitter is surprising. But, I mean, they were pretty widely ridiculed for doing that. Ultimately, like, the only people who can attest to whether it's true or not are the people who took the photo. And that's, like, I mean, based on the tracks, there's probably, like, 5 to 10 guys. So, I don't know. It seems pretty possible to me that this was some sort of prank. I don't know.
Mm.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe it's some local animal, like you were suggesting. And
yeah.
I assumed it was Yeti prints.
We really need to do a Yeti episode because I'm quite conflicted about the Yeti. Like, I don't know how to feel about it. I just think it's too hard to tell from snow prints.
Yeah. Were you thinking like a rabbit or something? Like a hare that like hops?
No. No. Maybe a bear, you know, when a bear, when its front paw steps in its, when sorry, when its back paw steps in its front paw footprint and it makes, that's what they claim a lot of big footprints are. Uh-huh. So, like, it steps with its front paw and it moves on, and then its back paw comes in and makes it look same. Longer.
Yeah. But then you still get, like what looks like a person walking, right? Like, two sets instead of four with a bear.
That's true. That's true, because they're quite fat.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they don't catwalk, bears.
I don't understand. Like, okay, let's just like, pretend Yetis are real.
Okay.
Why would there be any evolutionary benefit to walking in a straight line?
There wouldn't be. It doesn't make any sense.
This is not like big footprints in the mud. Like, this is, snow is such a bad tell of what was there, in my opinion, that I just, there's...
I think that's probably not the case in really cold climates where the snow doesn't melt. Like, there are places that have permafrost. And, like, there just isn't, like, the temperatures are always sub 20 and, like, sub minus 20. And you just, you don't get anything melting.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think it was a very unusual step from the Indian Army. I also saw the ridicule that came through the comments. It was pretty brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, wait, so your who dis is, you reckon it's an animal?
I reckon...
Or you're just a notch?
I don't know. I have no idea. It's just like, I'm not an expert in tracks normally, and usually I can make an educated guess, but this is like a pile of mush. I don't know, and it confuses me.
All right. Good. So. I think we have analyzed that as much as it is possible to analyze that.
Yeah. If you guys saw it or you know more about mushy footprints in snow, definitely let us know what you think, because I'm at a loss.
Yeah. That would be helpful if there are snow people out there.
Yeah. We live in Australia. I mean, we're from Australia. I've never even seen snow. No, I've seen snow once.
All right, should we move on to the second item, which is, it's a pretty long story. Do you want me to read the whole story?
I think it would be good if, it's also from Ireland, so I was kind of hoping you would do it in an Irish accent.
Okay, I'm not doing that, definitely not.
Oh, Patty! Can we please have, like, at least the intro in an Irish accent?
I am incapable of doing an Irish accent. Like, I don't have one.
You're Irish!
I have a passport. If you want, I can, like, rustle my passport past the microphone, but I do not have an Irish accent.
All right.
Okay, cool. Do you want to read some part of this in an Irish accent, or should I just go for it?
I think that would be insulting. I mean, I'm a phony. You're a real deal.
I'm a phony too, man. I don't have the accent.
All right, you go for it.
All
in
right.
your...
In my normal
accent. Normal accent.
Thank you. Right. I'm sorry to rain on your parade. I'm sure you had grand visions of me putting on my leprechaun voice.
Yeah, big time. Me and the whole audience. You've disappointed me and you've disappointed all of us. Okay, go ahead.
All right. It's quite a long story, so strap in, everyone. It begins with a highly convincing opener. He says, "Let me preface this by saying that everything I'm about to tell you genuinely happened." Great way to open a story to pump up your credibility. All right.
Oh, actually, sorry. Just pause. This should probably say this is a where this came from.
Oh, yeah. Where this come
just
from?
No context. Go. So this was posted to the Cryptozoology Reddit by, I'm not sure if he wants his full name, so I'm just going to say Michael. And I read it and I thought it was very interesting because I hadn't really heard anything like it before. So I reached out to Michael. He gave me some extra detail. We kind of chatted back and forth. So this is the extended edition plus some Q&A at the end from further detail. All right. All right. Best context.
Cool, cool, cool. All right. So this is Michael speaking or writing and I'm reading it. I live in a rural part of Donegal Island, and my family is very superstitious, with quite a few connections to local paranormal and cryptid folklore. There are multiple stories of encounters with the same creature, and myself and a few trusted friends are working on getting video evidence of its existence. This thing didn't look like any other creature I've read about on here, in brackets Reddit, or online, so I've come looking for others' input on it. My first encounter starts on a cold January evening. I had recently stopped seeing a girl, good for you, Michael, so I had a lot of extra free time. Well, actually, it gets bad for you if you just stop seeing them. Anyway, he's a bit of a ladies' man, is the impression I got.
What?
All right, back to Michael.
Because he saw one girl.
I decided that day to meet up with an old friend of mine. We'll call him Jay. All right, Jay. We had been sitting in his house talking when we started talking about what we used to do when we were younger. At the time, I was 19. He puts in brackets nearly 20, which is a bit of like a kid thing to do, like nearly five. Anyway, so he was nearly 20 at the time, and the friend Jay had just turned 18. And Michael says, when we were around 13 or 14, we used to spend our entire summers camping and exploring a forest not far from both of our houses. I had a little look on Google, like forests around Donegal, but I wasn't sure which one it was. So I'd be interested to know just so I can look it up. Anyway, back to the story. The forest wasn't big compared to some of the massive forests in America or continental Europe, but for our country, it was one of the biggest and oldest. It was mostly old oak with some areas of evergreen trees and then areas of thick brush, who not many other people had explored to the extent that myself and my friend had. We'd often come across strange things in that forest, dead animals ripped apart, and even a dead cow, but for some reason had never thought much of it, writing it off as foxes or maybe stray dogs.
Yeah, shit happens.
Yeah, that's foxes often bringing down cows in packs. Michael, not the sharpest knife in the drawer, evidently.
Can you not make fun of every single fucking guest we have on?
All right, back to the story. We'd gotten bored of sitting in the house that night and decided to go up to the forest for nostalgia's sake. Now, this time of year, it gets dark around 5 p.m., and this was around 9:30, so it was pitch black. He actually says pitch dark, but I assume he means pitch black. We drove to the mouth of the forest and parked up the car. We started our walk in. We had a particular spot in mind a few hundred meters into the forest where he and I used to sneak when we were younger to hide the fact we were smoking from our parents. Good job. To most people, the forest was haunting during the day, never mind at night. But from all the time we'd spent there when we were younger, it had a homely feel to it now. About 20 minutes of walking. 20 minutes of walking? You said it was a few hundred meters in. Oh, I don't know, maybe they're bush bashing or something. Anyway, apparently after 20 meters and also only a few hundred meters of walking, they arrive at their old smoking spot.
Good God.
Memories of our younger years started flooding back. He's very poetic, this guy, as we stood there again, smoking a cigarette, joking and laughing. About maybe half an hour had passed, and the usual noise of leaves blowing in the wind had started to hush, and the crickets had gone quiet. The moon had become obscured by the trees, bar a few spots more illuminated than others through the canopy. I'm seeing it too. I feel like I'm there.
Listeners, just close your eyes and let's go there. Let's join it.
The dappled light.
See it now.
Yeah. all right. At first, I thought I could hear footsteps or see the odd silhouette in the distance, but put it down to my mind playing tricks on me. Then came the sound, the unmistakable crack of a branch breaking. Super dramatic. It was a bit away from us, but it echoed through the forest with purpose.
That's my favorite line.
Then
came... crack, 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 motherfucker.
Then came another, almost intentional. Soon more followed, gaining pace with each sound coming closer together. Then it happened. Wait, did he really say that? Well, he said, then came the sound. All right, anyway. Then it happened. A younger tree, maybe 15 foot tall, but still with quite a thin trunk, fell maybe 20 meters away from us, just pushed to the ground. I caught my first glimpse of it then. This reads like a 15-year-old writing their first, like, creative writing fan fiction piece.
You're just mean to people because you're jealous of their experiences.
That must be it. There it was, maybe. He says there it was so often. All right. Then it happened. There it was. There it was, maybe 20 meters away. On all fours, it looked to be four or five feet tall with piercing red eyes. And this is when it's on all fours.
Mm-hmm.
It then rose to its hind legs and was huge. I'm about 6 feet tall. He is definitely a ladies' man. I'm about 6 feet tall.
Because he has height?
That's all women want, tall men. And we both play rugby. He is drowning in clunge, definitely. Anyway.
Excuse me. Also, I'd like to point out, as a short ass myself, I don't want a 6 foot tall man.
You're doing your heart of heart.
He can, like, fold in half and be my height.
You're disrupting the story, Megan. Anyway.
I'm disrupting it. Okay.
So they both played rugby. They're 6 feet tall, so they're not small guys, he says. But this thing dwarfed us. It was staring right at us, waiting for us to move. We started pacing back, but keeping eye contact with it. It started walking towards an old tree, stretched out one of its lanky arms, and within seconds was at the top of the tree. So it's climbed up the tree.
Yeah, its interesting.
Burning eyes still staring at us. We started to run back to the car, and we could hear the creature coming through the trees above us. We burst out of the forest, this reads like Indiana Jones or something, and got into the car as fast as we could. I turned on the lights and illuminated the forest in front of us. There they were, those glowing red eyes, about 15 meters into the tree line. The creature dropped out of the tree and stood on its back legs again. The light gave us a better look at it. So these are the car lights. It had a long, shiny black nose. I don't know exactly what that means. I don't know how to picture it. Like, is it...
like a muzzle.
Is it like a... yeah, like a snout? Or is it like...
yeah, like a wolf.
Long vertically in the face.
No, like a long muzzle, like of a dog or a wolf.
Right, because it's a dog.
With a big, shiny, black nose, like a dog.
It must have been between 8 and 9 feet tall. This is when standing up. And was covered in black, wiry fur. It had lanky arms with long fingers. It bore its white teeth and began walking back into the forest on its hind legs. The weirdest thing is that both me and my friend felt some sort of connection to it, as both of us have families with paranormal histories. We'll go into this in more detail later. It's one of the things we asked him about, or Megan asked him about. Mm-hmm. We knew the creature had wanted us, if the creature had wanted us dead, it could have killed us easily, but for some reason it let us live. And then he says that he's had a few more experiences with this creature on later occasions. Him, Michael, and a few friends are investigating it further to figure out what exactly it is, try and get some evidence on it. Mm-hmm. And he says, feel free to contact me if you want any more details. Which is what we did. So Megan contacted him and asked a series of questions. So first she said, can you go into more detail about what you saw, what it looked like? And Michael says, it looked a little like the werewolf from the movie Dog Soldiers.
Did you look that up?
I've looked it up. I haven't seen the movie myself, but I've now looked at photos of the werewolf.
Yeah.
From Dog Soldiers. I guess we'll put one of them up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very tall. Kind of,
classic,
yeah.
Classic werewolf.
Yeah, classic werewolf, really. All right, so Michael says it's got that kind of lanky body, except maybe a bit taller. It was sort of a mashup of, like, a werewolf, but then the face was kind of like a mix of a human and a bear face.
Mm.
On another encounter with it, at around dusk, Michael says it stared at him from a distance and mimicked his actions, so he'd lift an arm and then it would lift an arm and so on. And this continued for a few minutes until Michael started walking towards it. And he says, it was a strange feeling to describe, but I feel like it didn't want to hurt me, but at the same time, it wanted me to know that it could hurt me if it wanted to. Yeah, so evidently he feels some kind of connection with this thing, unless all of this made up, of course. All right. Another question Megan asked was, can you explain what you mean by this feeling of a supernatural connection?
Yeah, because he talks about his family having, like, a connection with supernatural and paranormal, and that means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So I was just like, what do you mean?
Yeah. All right. And his answer is, as ridiculous as it seems, I've always had somewhat of a connection with the supernatural coming from my mum's side of the family. The dad, just pretty pedestrian. No paranormal activity on the male side. I think it knows that this is the creature. I don't want to hurt it. And I have a feeling like it's something ancient, like it's there to protect something.
So it doesn't really answer my question, but
yeah.
I think what he's saying is just like some families talk about it a lot more, or like are more like psychic, or maybe have more of a connection like with the dead or with ghosts or with spirits, or like talk about aliens more, or more open to the...
He's a loon from a long line of loons is what he's saying.
Oh, God. No.
All right. Megan then asks about his investigations, because he said he was going to do more investigating with he and his friends. Mm-hmm. And Michael says that they've got two GoPros and a fairly high resolution phone camera or set of phone cameras. They've got tac lights, which I assume means tactical lights. For night, and they've also got a night vision camcorder, and they're intending to take a few days off to camp over the winter in that forest, because they think it's more active between November and February. I guess that's when their sightings must have occurred. They've been building on their encounters over the last 2 years, and they feel like they're ready to see it this year. You can also ask where all this happened, and he didn't really specify. He just said Donegal again, and then told us where Donegal was, but we can actually figure out where Donegal is because we have Google.
Hey, I Googled that, and I added that note about where it was because I have been to Wicklow Mountains very previously, and it's a pretty spooky place. So I was like, Donegal, I wonder how close that was to the Wicklow Mountains, and it's 4 hours, so I was curious.
So all right.
Keep your sass in check.
Okay, I'm keeping my sass in check.
Barely.
Would you like to go first on the who dis, or should I?
I'll go first.
Okay. Who dis?
Well, so this is extremely intriguing to me because obviously it kind of sounds a little bit Sasquatchy in some ways, and it sounds a little bit like Dogman in some other ways. But those sorts of things I've only heard in the context of America and the United States. I mean, there are some exceptions, obviously. Like, we have Yowies in Australia. There's Bigfoot, apparently, in Britain. But Dogman is kind of like a new concept. I mean, it's a question of whether Dogmen are becoming more common. Like, they have a larger breeding population if they exist, and so people are seeing them more, or it's becoming more socially acceptable to talk about dogman encounters. And that's a question I'll leave for another episode to dedicate all to itself. But I've never heard of a dogman encounter in Ireland. There is Sasquatch-like creatures in Ireland called the Woodwoes, but this sounds totally different to that. There is also a Sasquatch-type like there's different types of yaois, there's different types of Sasquatch in America, and one is more baboon-like, like its face is, you know, like a baboon has a big snout,
which is a bit doggy. When we say there are these things, we mean people say there are these things. well, we're not saying there definitely are X amount of Sasquatches in,
Yeah,
this just is to be clear.
I'm talking generally. I read it once, the first time I read it, my initial thinking was, holy shit, sounds like a dog man in Ireland. That's crazy. Like, I never heard of that before. And then I asked some more detail. He sent that picture of basically a straight up werewolf. And I thought, okay, yeah, this is a dog man. But then I read it again a couple more times. And the sticking point for me is that it jumped into the trees. That is not typical wolf or dog.
That ain't no dog man.
Or dog man or werewolf. That's unusual behavior here. So I like his story. I believe him, obviously. And I think he is a good writer.
Why do you believe him? Why is that obvious? He's a person you've never met on the internet. Why do you believe him implicitly?
I believe him because he had the right amount of details he had the amount of details I would expect if something really happened. So, like, if someone mugged you in the street and someone was like, what happened? I would imagine that same amount of detail would be equivalent to this. He didn't go into, like, crazy...
You're in England, right? You have English TV. Have you ever watched Would I Lie to You?
Yeah.
It is so hard to pick which ones are lies and which ones are not lies. Because a good liar populates their stories with detail. And I'm not even saying that, like, this may not be a lie. It may just be... I mean, you're not lying if you're telling a fictional story. You're just telling fiction. Anyway. Not that I'm saying that's what this is, but...
I have seen that, but they're usually professional actors and comedians and, like, lie for, like... They're on TV as well, like,
They lie for a living.
They lie for a living, exactly.
You know, lawyers, yeah.
They play make-believe for a career. So I felt like he didn't embellish too much. He had, like, obviously a lovely style of writing. Are you just flexing there randomly?
My arm hurts at the shoulder connection.
Oh, so painful.
Fuck you. I went to a new gym yesterday and the weights are all different and I think I've hurt my shoulder. I forgot that I was on video.
That's fine. It's just distracting.
It hurts, like, here? Uh-huh. Like, where the thing joins?
Oh, you snapped it.
Yeah, I have pinched it.
You're asking for advice from someone who's never been to a gym, except for that one time when I was forced to.
I'm not asking for advice. I'm explaining myself.
The last time I went to a gym, the once and only time I went to a gym, was with a friend. And we were running side by side on the treadmills and we were making it go faster, 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 faster. Who could run the fastest? And then she fell down but didn't let go of the handlebars. So the treadmill just kept going and started, like, grating away at her knees. And then she was like, what do I do? And I was like, oh my God. And I pressed the emergency stop and we were all like, let go, let go. So she let go and she, like, got carried along the treadmill and smashed into the wall. And,
in a bloodied heap.
I felt like I saw a bone in those knees. So that's the last time I've been to the gym. It's unrelated to why I don't go. I just don't give a shit about that sort of thing. Anyway, what was I saying? Anyway, so...
You reckon the amount of detail is just right, and your sixth sense tells you that he must be telling the truth.
Yeah, I mean, nothing to do with the fact that he's Irish and I just implicitly am in love with all Irish people. There's nothing to do with it.
Megan's first love was an Irishman, for listeners out there.
You may be listening.
Who's heavily biased.
Yeah.
All right,
anyway,
cool.
Shut up. I haven't finished. I haven't even said anything yet, okay? I've just told you a story and then we've reminisced about past loves, okay? So, I feel like he did a very good job. I feel like he definitely saw something. Him and his friend saw something. Two people. Good.
You're a schmuck. You're a, you're, You're an easy mark, Megan. I would, if I were a con man, I would go after you.
I haven't finished my speech. If I was going to make this up, I would pick a lane, right? If I'm going to talk about Bigfoot in Ireland or Dogman in Ireland, I would talk about Bigfoot or Dogman in Ireland. This one has elements of both. You're not going to talk about it getting into the trees and chasing after them if it's a Dogman. That makes no sense. That's going to lead to people being like, you're ill-informed.
Well, he must be telling the truth, and it couldn't just be that he's an idiot.
Jesus Christ. It's coming thick and fast today.
Just because it doesn't make sense doesn't mean it's true. He could have just... anyway. He's on Reddit. He's probably read all sorts of cryptid stories. He just mushed them together.
It's not how cryptozoology works. Anyway, and, you know, I had a chat with him, and I said, you know, if I'm ever in Ireland, I'd love to come out with you into the woods.
Oh, shit!
Yeah.
What's going on here. I'm endangering your romantic liaison with an Irishman with my skepticism.
I feel like, actually, if I'm going to put my skeptic hat on, this is how I die. I'm just going to, like, meet someone on the internet and go into the woods with them and search for a quote-unquote monster. He's going to kill me. No, seriously. I think he saw something. If I was going to put money on it, everything about this says Dogman to me, but then he says it goes into the trees. That is, like, bonkers insane to me. That doesn't make any sense. That contradicts everything I know about Dogman that I have, like, researched. I've never heard about them in Ireland. I've never heard them go into a tree. So, what does that leave me with? It's not a human. It's not a ghost. I mean, that's just...
Why was that one of the options? It's not a cupcake.
It's not an alien. I'm just trying to think of, like, big groups, right?
I've run through all the plausible go-to options. Not a ghost, not an alien, it's not a... Jesus.
So option one for me. It is a Dogman. They are an island. Perhaps it's a cultural... It's not culturally acceptable to talk about them there. Perhaps they have a small population. And he is incorrect about it going into the trees. It's dark. He's scared. He's running away. It disappears.
He said he quite clearly saw it. It was one of the detailed sections. He said it stretched out its arms, and within a few seconds, it was at the top of the tree. How do you mistake that?
Yeah, true. That's true. Okay, well, option two then is it was a woodwose. It was one of these Sasquatch Bigfoot things, British Bigfoot, Yowie. We have them, like, all around the planet. Maybe it was just one of the more baboon-faced ones.
Okay.
He didn't mention a tail.
That's your who dis?
Yeah. He didn't mention a all tail, right. So, like...
Could be, like, a cat that had its tail cut off. Yeah, like animals lose their tails sometimes.
I guess so.
No, I'm not saying it could be a cat. I mean, I'm saying it could, if your theory is right, it could be one of the baboon, whatever you call them, woodrows that had its tail cut off in a fight or something.
Yeah, so it's either that or he's making it up.
Cool. All right, I want to get a little philosophical with my answer.
Okay, Paddy, who dis?
All right, my who dis is, I want to lay out my thinking for you. First of all, I'm trying to give this guy the benefit of the doubt because he's a fellow Irishman and he's only like two or three counties away from my own county of County Mayo. We're both West Coast Irishmen, although I have no accent and I only have the passport. So I'm going to try and not shit on this guy and his story. I don't want to make him feel bad. I hope he is a listener and enjoys our show and continues to be involved in cryptozoology.
Wow.
But here is the dilemma that faces me.
Okay.
It seems to me quite impossible from his description that he's just made a mistake here. Like, it's quite detailed. So one of two things happened. Either he actually saw this thing, or is fictional and he made it up. Mm. I don't think it's possible that, like, he just made a mistake and it was a cat or something. Okay, so if I go with the first option, that he actually saw all this stuff. Well, actually, no, let's go with the other option. Let's say that he's made it up. Mm-hmm. If that's true, if that's my theory, all I have to believe is that some dude on the internet is lying, which is, I'm happy believing that. I've never met this guy before. I can't vouch for his honesty. Maybe he likes making up stories. I like making up stories, you know? It's a fun thing to do. And putting them on Reddit, why wouldn't you? If I believe the second theory, that this is actually legit, I have to completely revise my understanding of, like, the whole natural order to make room for a 9-foot hairy dog man monster in Ireland. And it raises a whole bunch of even more challenging questions. Like, how did biologists miss this? What's the evolutionary history behind this thing? What does it evolve from? And why have biologists missed all of the, like, precursors to this animal that must have existed in Ireland? Unless we're just abandoning evolutionary theory while we're on this wild goose chase. But I'm not going down that route because supernatural shit is, like, no. So this it puts old mate Michael in a hard position. Because he's effectively swimming upstream. He has a huge burden of proof to move me from theory two to theory one. He would have to do a lot of legwork. And people in the cryptozoology community are always complaining about this. They're always saying, you know, oh, whatever I show you, you're just going to say, oh, it's probably not true. Skeptics never really listen and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think that's how it should be. If you're trying to prove that the whole world's understanding of what is out there is wrong, and that you figured out what's really the case, that should be really hard. It's appropriate that people disbelieve you and that you have an overwhelming burden of proof. Mm. And you should take comfort in the fact that you're in the same company as scientists like Bennett Omalu, the guy who proved that football players get concussion and no one believed him at the start. Mm. Like, you have to swim upstream with that sort of shit. And, you know, like everyone, every great scientist who, like, changed everyone's understanding of stuff. You know, like Galileo, recently those guys who showed that ulcers aren't caused by stress, they're caused by bacteria, and they won the Nobel Prize for it. Oh. Like, everyone discredited them at the start. So, I mean, if you've actually seen this thing and you know it's real, you should be glad that no one believes you. That's appropriate. That's how knowledge should work. You shouldn't just trust random shit on the internet, because if you start doing that, you have to believe in everything. There's so much shit on the internet. There's so many people who definitely have made stories up. And you can't just go around trusting all of them. You got to distrust all of them and then ask, you know, you trust that the people who've actually seen things will provide further evidence. So, no, I don't think this is true. Not because I don't like Michael, just because it's a really high bar for me to... The bar for me to believe that this is true is set incredibly high, and that's appropriate.
Okay.
So I would love for Michael to come back with some GoPro footage of a fucking dog man, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay.
That's my hoot.
What if he was to show you footprints? What if he went out, found some footprints? I'm not going to surprise you with him. He got back to me. He sent me footprints. That hasn't happened. But what if that was to happen?
That doesn't sound... I mean, I would... I'm not a footprint expert. It would have to take more than just sending a photo of footprints. He would have to, like, do casts or send really, really high-res photos to experts of footprints, and then those experts would have to say, this is really weird, we want to investigate further, and then there'd have to be further investigation. Mm. You know, it's like you're proving that there actually is this thing out there. In any other area of inquiry, it's a really high burden of proof that you'd have to supply. Like, if you're saying that, I don't know, I've discovered a new element or something, mm-hmm. you can't just send some fucking photos to the Academy of Science. Like, it's harder than that. It's hard work proving that the world is different to how people think it is. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think a lot of these cryptozoology people are little bitches, to be honest.
What do you mean, little bitches?
I mean, they do a little bit of work. They take, like, a couple photos. They write a story, you know, of their experiences. Maybe they're even real experiences. And then they submit it. And they're like, well, why are people believing me? And I was like, well, it's harder than that.
Okay, but okay. So say...
Whew. Scientists work, like, 40 years to prove, like, that one really specific thing is the case.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard.
Yeah, it's hard. But if someone was like, I created a new element. And then someone else was like... I've seen it. And then some other person was like, I've seen it. And then there was like this collective of people who have like, yes, I've seen it. Yeah. That's kind of what's happening.
Then that would be enough for like the actual scientific body, like the Academy of Science, to conduct an investigation.
Well, aha, because there's heaps of people who have said they've seen it. the dog man.
But having heaps of people say that something is true doesn't make it true. That there's just a really good reason to give it a proper look.
Yeah.
And then to collect evidence that shows that it's true. The evidence can't just be the testimony. Testimony's starting point.
Well, why are people not looking into it then?
Well, I guess because it's not a bunch of people that have said there's an Irish dog man. It's just this one dude on Reddit probably is okay. It's probably the reason.
What about, like, the USA dog man then?
I don't know. I haven't looked into that. Maybe people have investigated it and didn't find anything. Like,
maybe.
Sasquatch. I don't know.
Fair enough. All right, guys. Like, send us your...
I feel like I've explained
it. It's fine. It's a... It's fine. Guys, you need to send us your hardcore sightings. Have you seen something? Have you taken a photo of something? It, like, send it in. Let's stump Patty together. I'm tired.
I would love to get an exciting photo. That'd be cool. Something that you're really like, what's this? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then it could be Photoshop as well. I don't know. It's just, it's hard. It's hard. I'm not in a positive mindset at the moment about the whole cryptozoology thing.
Okay, if you have an awesome photo, give us not only that photo, but take a photo of the original, like, camera where you're, like, looking at the viewfinder, you know? Like, if you took it on a digital camera.
That would help. You take a photo. Do everything you can to disprove the doubters, you know?
Yeah.
Really make it hard to be a skeptic. Yeah. That's your job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Send us your stuff at cryptidaddicted@gmail.com. We want to win this fight. I'm going to find something real juicy. Send us your juicy stuff for next episode of Who Dis. Because I want to get there. I'm not sure there's been many wins in this area for us recently.
Yeah, that'd be great. We love to hear from you. Even if it's not a sighting, it's just your own analysis, or you just want to write in to say, Pay's a fucking idiot. That's fine as well. Whatever. We'd love to hear from you, and give us money through Patreon as well, please.
And then, you can find us at all the social medias. Just Google Cryptid Addicted, but for specifically for all the photos, they're on Facebook, which is Cryptid Space Addicted. And thanks for all the guys who are buying stuff on our Redbubble. That's cryptidaddicted@redbubble. We have notebooks, which are actually surprisingly popular, and t-shirts and scarves and stuff. It's my birthday coming up, so if you want to buy some stuff and send it to me, I don't know, that's weird. Just say happy birthday, maybe. And you can also find it through the website. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm delirious. It's 12:30.
All right, thanks for listening, guys. Okay. We will see you next time.
Have a good time. Bye! Bye.